Your SteveJonesShow.com audio is coming up next. Audio and podcast of The Steve Jones Show, a service of Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street, Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is The Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Welcome back. Kevin has made Abington Heights out to be the 73 Lakers.
73 Lakers. Of all, you could pick anybody. Why the 73 Lakers, may I ask?
133 in a row.
Okay.
With Wilt Chamberlain, Jerry West, Happy Hairston, Gail Goodrich, Keith Erickson.
I only remember three of those guys. Is that bad?
West wore 44. Chamberlain wore 13. Hairston wore 52.
Oh, brother.
Goodrich wore 25. And I think Erickson wore 24. Something like that.
Unbelievable.
Elgin Baylor played the first five of the year, games of the year, retired. He wore 22. Yeah. So, and you've made Abington Heights out to be the 73 Lakers.
They're good.
Right?
That's all.
And not only that, you know, and Shikellamy is the little engine that could. They're going to be spots on the floor open Friday night that haven't been open for 2 months. Take my word. They knocked down some shots.
No question.
Abington Heights knocks down some shots because they're going to have some open looks. Okay. That's what's going to swing it. Which team's going to win the two lines? Free throw line, 3-point line in combination will win the game. Just the way today's game goes. That's the game, you know. I mean, you can't turn it, you know. I mean, there's certain staples. You can't turn it over. Your defense has to be solid. You have to rebound. Can't give up second chances. But when the game's over with, and if you have your turnovers down to maybe 8 to 10, if your rebounding is in the neighborhood, it's the team that wins the two lines. You know, a few more free throw chances, you convert. A couple more three-pointers, you convert. Win the game. I would venture to say that if you look at a box score, 80% of the games, you'll see that the winning team has more points at the three-point line and free throw line in combination compared to the team that loses.
Well,
it might
I
even
would
be as high as 90%. Yeah, that's what it comes down to. You have to do the other parts. You have to take care of the ball. You can't give a boatload of turnovers that lead to points, and you can't give up second chance points left and right because you're not rebounding the ball. Okay. But Abington Heights is really good. Guess what? Shikellamy's really good. That's why they're both in the state tournament. I don't care if it's up there. Take a tape measure. I'm telling you right now, the basket's 10 feet high.
Love that movie.
He's right. That scene where Gene Hackman goes into Hinkle Fieldhouse, which is, by the way, a marvelous place to do a basketball game. I did a game in there 21 years ago. Well, I loved it. What a, you know, slightly raised court. Not much, but slightly raised. Stands cascading up. Noise in there. Penn State played Butler. Barry Collier was the coach at the time, who ended up getting the Nebraska job out of that. And Butler was good back then. He was really the one that got Butler going, which then led to Thad Matta, which then led to Todd Linklater, which then led to Brad Stevens. You're mad, I know that.
I'm not mad. I'm not mad. Like I said, I'm not disagreeing with anything you're saying. All I said was Abington Heights has had a really good year. They're a solid team. They've got a lot of guys that can shoot, a lot of weapons. they're gonna you have to give them the respect at 25-2 that they deserve. That's
of course
all.
You do, and the team they're playing deserves respect. They
I didn't
went
say they
knocked
didn't.
Off a number one seed in their district, and they, you know, which should be a lesson to all of you that Friday night's a very winnable game. I mean, if the seedings held, Shikellamy should be over, right?
Well, that's one of the things I said Saturday as well. You look at when you look at the way things came out, it was a 3-4 in the championship in District 4 AAA. That tells you how well matched the district was.
Sure, it's seedings to me. You know what the biggest thing about seedings is? Okay.
Is that
what color jersey you wear?
Well, but and see the seeding problem in high school districts especially, it's based on your record. So you can have a distorted record and be a top seed. I'm not saying that's what happened in this case. I'm saying you can have a really a schedule that just kind of played out rather easily and have a very good record.
Then you get into a tough game and you lose.
Right. That's exactly
right.
But,
so
that's my point with the seedings. Right.
I mean, the only team right now that's going through this thing that's in a breeze is Chester. They're the most talented team. They'll win. I'm just sorry that these games aren't at the Jordan Center this year.
Yeah.
It's kind of fun having them here. But, I mean, you know, Hershey will do a great job with it. But I'm just saying it was kind of nice. Just casually popping over whenever I felt like it and watching some of these games.
I'm trying to see. Abington Heights on Max Preps is ranked 20th. And Chester is ranked number one at 24-3 overall.
Chester's quad A, though.
No, I know they're not going to play each other in the tournament. I mean, they rank everybody based on you know, talent.
Chester would take Abington Heights and crush them like a grape. Okay. Despite your 73 Laker comparison.
My Laker comparison.
I mean, the Chief is sitting back right now. The Chief's on my side. He knows where I'm coming from. I mean, are there upsets that happen at this time of the year?
Sure.
Yeah, I mean, like, if Chester's beaten, that's an upset. There aren't going to be many other games that fall into that category. To me, once you get there, everybody's good. Everybody's good. You won your way there. You earned your way in. Same thing in the NCAAs. Oh, my goodness, look at Norfolk State in Missouri. Oh, what? Norfolk State won its conference tournament. Guess what they had going in? Automatic championship momentum. I watched a game in person 2 years ago out of Tucson. Northern Colorado was playing San Diego State. Now, San Diego State had at that point a guy named Kawhi Leonard, who's now a starting forward for the San Antonio Spurs. Really good player, very talented, good athlete. Now, for a good chunk of that game, Northern Colorado was right there with him. Why? Because after winning the Big Sky Championship, guess what? They know how to win. They expect to win. It makes a huge difference. I mean, every one of those automatic bid teams, every one of them, all 31 of them, all have winning streaks heading into the NCAAs. All 37 of the teams that are at large are headed in on a loss.
You know what I'm going to be interested to see, though, and this is at the AAA level, because I see more AAA teams than I do anything else in high school basketball. Yeah. It'll be very interesting to see how well the public school teams match up with the private schools in AAA. And this is always something. This is something I really feel strongly that the PIAA is going to have to take a look at here soon. There are, at first glance in AAA, about 12 schools that are private schools. 12 to 13 schools that are private schools. It'll be interesting to see what happens after the first round. How many of those 12 to 13 schools continue on? Because last year there were quite a few in the second round, and I think all but one in the quarterfinals was a private school. I think that's something the PIAA has to look at, because I honestly, truly believe, and I know I've talked to coaches that have coached in private schools before, and I know the argument that, yes, you know, we have the opportunity to go and talk to kids, but then when kids' parents see the dollar figure that they have to pay, they shy away from going to this school. So we don't have the recruiting advantage. But I truly believe there's a recruiting advantage there. And I think that is the one place in high school that you can recruit, and I do honestly believe it's done.
Why, then, if that's the case, why is it we switch the country?
I'm sorry, ask me that
so
question.
Many,
say that question again.
Why is it across the country that we see all the time schools that can regionalize like that win?
Well, and that's where I go back to the fact that I think they can.
Better coached? They're not better coached. You may think they are. Oh, he's a legendary coach. He's been here at Princeton Catholic. Oh, yeah, that's great, yeah. I mean, look, there's a school that's close to here in girls basketball, Bishop Guilfoyle. Okay. You know, you can essentially, if it works right for you, you can get all the best players in your area to go play for you.
That's correct.
Okay? I mean, I'm not talking out of turn. I'm talking from common sense. Okay? I'm talking from common sense. And that's just the way it is. This is the way it is. There's a jet going over now. It can't be our team plane.
It better not be, or you're in trouble. You better check your email. Right. There might be an email buried in there that said, hey, you had to leave early because of the impending storm.
Now, my emails right now, let's see. Dave Baker about crosswinds tomorrow, so I need to be ready. Dan Mihalik from the Big Ten, my all-Big Ten ballot. I've got one from the Big Ten Network about spring availability for softball and baseball. And I've got my credential request for the NCAA basketball tournament in Philadelphia. So those are my emails. 1-800-795-9565. That's 1-800-795-9565. Why don't you jump in? I'd like to hear your opinion on what we're talking about today. We continue on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
I really need a used car.
Sunbury Motors has lots full of used cars.
But it has to be a good used car.
Well, they're not good.
What?
They're great. Sunbury Motors has over 300 used vehicles to choose from. Cars, SUVs, and trucks so good, we wouldn't sell them if we wouldn't drive them. That's probably why we consistently sell over 200 cars a month. And when it comes to new, Sunbury Motors is the largest Ford dealership in the central Susquehanna Valley. Sunbury Motors makes buying a new car easy with a huge inventory and lots of choices.
And I'm a smart shopper, and I know what the price should be for the car I want.
Well, here at Sunbury Motors, you get our lowest price promise. We research prices on used cars so much that if you find a better deal, we'll beat it. That's a promise. So here's your keys.
Thanks.
Take a test drive today at the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and our Kia dealerships at Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Shop 24/7 and see our inventory at sunburymotors.com. That's sunburymotors.com. Sunbury Motors, a tradition of trust since 1915.
Action-packed.
That's what he says.
OTM is action-packed. I love it.
Well, you know, you could tomorrow morning, you can go to WKOK.com, click on the On the Mark link, and then see the webcam for yourself, and then you'll find out if it's action-packed or not.
People are asking when we're getting a webcam for this show.
Actually, have discussed that just today, as a matter of fact.
Oh, boy. Ken in Lewisburg on the Hilscher's General Store hotline.
He's
Hi,
all
Kenny.
Excited about the cam, I can tell.
Yes, that's what I'm looking for, the webcam.
Oh, I bet you are, Ken. Oh, yeah. So are the police.
Yeah, no kidding. Hey, the reason I was calling is I was a high school coach, and one of the comments that you guys had just made in regards to recruiting really strikes me as something that does need to be addressed. I have three boys. My middle one, we've done the quarterback camp circuit, and he's a younger boy, fifth grade, and you still take him everywhere, but when you go to these, you see all the same parents. And when you're talking to parents that are from Philadelphia, New Jersey, all of these other areas, the first thing they will tell you is they're waiting to see their best offer as to where they go to high school.
I've heard that too.
Sure.
And I've lived it. They simply wait. And I know when Lewisburg, and someone can check the stats, but when Lewisburg had played for the near state championship, I believe it was Philadelphia Catholic or Philadelphia something, 14 of their roster players were from New Jersey.
Right, and you know what? It can't have that. I think that maybe we're at a point where I think you have to maybe put the charter schools and the Catholic schools in a classification, play through, have the public league, have the public schools play through, and then the week after, get the respective champions together and play them against one another, and go from there. That way, I think, you know, you have multiple champions, but you feel like you've won the state public league championship. And then if you want to play afterward, then play afterward for the whole thing. Because to me, we're getting away from town versus town, district versus district when this is happening.
Well,
and that's the way it used to be.
Well, you still have some local rivalries, but the fact of the matter is, at some point you realize to be able to compete at the final level is somewhat nearly impossible, and we all know life's not fair, but they've created a playground in which it's really not fair.
Right. They sure have. I mean, when you're playing a team that has non-Pennsylvania kids playing for the team for the state championship, I'm sorry, that doesn't work. I mean, I know one of the great Catholic high schools that has produced a lot of pro football and a lot of Notre Dame players over the years, Cathedral High School in Springfield, Massachusetts. Okay, my town, Enfield, Connecticut, is right on the border with Massachusetts. There were several players that were among some of the better athletes that ended up going to Cathedral and not playing in my town. I mean, they're not only that, they're playing out of state. Okay, well, they're playing in Massachusetts. Connecticut residents.
You have to take advantage of that. If you have an athlete that's capable of going to get more exposure, et cetera, that's what's going to happen. But I think the PIAA is entirely remiss in their system, the way it's set up now, because most teams know they're never going to be able to compete.
That's a very good point, and I think the PIAA, first of all, gets too much criticism. Okay, so let's start with that, because it's a big organization and an easy target. But I think at the same time, when you have a parochial school and also charter schools are also a big issue right now. It's an issue that they need to address where there's a fairness that's assigned to this.
I think it needs to be a 5A category all separate by itself.
Well, you would think, because you're drawing from a pool of unlimited players.
Exactly.
It's completely unlimited.
And Steve, I slightly disagree with you about the PIAA getting too much criticism. My thought is that this is the organization that's charged with running this. This is the high school version of the NCAA.
Yeah, but you don't know all the pitfalls that they have to deal with all the time.
Yeah,
we've had
I've
Bob Lombardi.
Sure,
I know Bob Lombardi.
I know.
Okay. It's too easy to take shots. Okay? Come up with solutions. Don't just
That's my solution. 5A.
Right.
Oh, that's
no,
it.
I agree. That's what you've done. You have come up with a solution. I'm saying people should come up with tell me what you do, which is what you did. That's what I always love when people tell me. They're wrong. They're bad. They're this. Okay, what would you do? There's always that pause.
Wouldn't it always be as simple as making sure you live in the state you play for?
Well, let's start with that. And I also think you ought to be, you have to be in the district you're supposed to be in too. If for example, if you're the, I think you have to be in the school district that you grew up in. Now, if it turns out the Catholic school or whatever happens to be in your town, okay, fine. But if it's not, no. Can't compete for the state. Ken, the music tells us we're going to the news. Thank you. Kevin would like to have 20 categories. Was that it?
Five.
5A, 6A, 7A, 8A. See, at least you came up with a solution. I think your solution bears some merit. But I'm not going to take shots at the PIAA because they've got a lot on their plate. But suggestions and solutions would help them.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kia Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. And, of course, we have the Hilsers General Store hotline open at 1-800-795-9565.
Thought about getting seeds at Hilsers, and after hearing possibly AccuWeather saying 1 to 3, might have to go back to the boot rack again and make sure that your feet are dry for the rest of what's left of winter with some Carhartt boots. I want to be planting something soon. I just want to plant like a tomato plant or something very soon. I'm getting tired of dreary white stuff in the sky and on the ground.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
The older I get, the more I complain about the weather.
Wow. You complained a lot.
That's probably true.
You know, that's but yeah, planting's good. It's great.
See, you go there in the spring, you get all the seeds, you plant, then in the fall you go back again, and then you're set for canning season. And then you're set for winter.
Yeah.
And it's dull, drab whiteness.
I understand that. I was laughing at listening to Sarah talk about Lakeshore Drive. I'm on Lakeshore Drive tomorrow. All right.
Well, you hope to be.
It's if we get there.
You hope to be.
Well, I mean, that's if we get there. I don't know what's going to go on.
Steve couldn't be with us today. He went to the game via Austin, Texas.
Well, no, they're talking about this Pittsburgh thing again. But the Kevin Herr rant is coming up.
I'm Steve Crook.
We're just moments away.
Simon. I'm Morley Safe.
I'm Kevin Herr.
That's a good one. I like that.
Those stories and Andy Rooney tonight on 60 Minutes.
Did you ever wonder why?
You know what we need to do is we need to get Ernest and Julio Gallo to sponsor the Kevin Herr Wine of the Day.
All the best.
All right. So we'll give us a preview. What is today's about?
Your favorite social media site.
Oh, good. Twitter. All right. Well, let her rip. Let's hear it.
I would like to take a moment to applaud Arian Foster, who signed off of Twitter the other day. Said, it's been fun, Twitter. Time for me to leave the digital realm, be the light that you want to see on the earth. Peace. And then left his 374 followers in the dark. Now, here's one guy that I don't ever remember hearing a bad tweet from. I don't remember hearing him complain about being in some city for a football game or like some college players complain about being in a bowl game that they thought they were better than. I don't remember him complaining about a player that he thought he was better than and didn't get enough respect from. What I do remember is some interesting tweets. These were the reasons I would follow him on Twitter. He posted a photo of his MRI of a hamstring, telling his followers the white stuff surrounding the muscle is known in the medical world as anti-awesomeness. Now, see, that's funny. That's what I like to see. He changed his screenshot a couple of times based on a column from a Boston Globe columnist that was kind of poking fun out of him. He announced that he was going vegan in July of last year and then revealed later on in the season that he occasionally ate chicken, which kind of would be a little bit of a step away from the vegan side of things. But here's a guy that actually gets what's going on. He realizes that Twitter can be an entertaining thing. It can be a way to enlighten people. It can be a way to make them a part of your world as well. And he used it as a way to keep his fan base interested. He didn't use it as a way to blast people just because he was bored, angry, or cranky. It wasn't every thought that crossed his mind, and here I'm going to tweet it. There was a filter, and that's the way you use it. I'm sad to see him signing off of Twitter, but I think more NFL players should follow that example. And I think it needs to trickle down a little further, including the NCAA thinking about at least putting in a suggestion to coaches that their players not tweet. Because if they're having trouble at the NFL level, you know darn well they're going to have trouble at the NCAA level.
Well, the Miami Dolphins banned it.
Absolutely.
Miami Dolphins banned it.
Now, is it hard to police? I would think it would be very difficult to police.
Well, you can police it. You got all the Twitter accounts there in front of you. I mean, they banned it. I want people, things getting out about their camp going out there. And you know how I feel about it. I mean, obviously, because I know you've wanted me to tweet for years what's going on in the pregame and whatever. And that's, you know, my point is, well, then why do we have a 90-minute pregame show that's sold? That's where I'm supposed to put out the information.
And that's an excellent, excellent point. But I mean, Twitter, used in the right way, Twitter can be very entertaining. It can be a way for people to get to know you a little bit better if that's what you want them to do.
Kevin, I'm on the radio, like take today, 5 hours today, right? I'm going to be on the radio tomorrow, 4 hours. I'm going to be on the radio Thursday for 7 hours. I've got a feeling that for the most part, people have been able to get to know me.
Well, but here's the thing, and I've heard this from many people that have listened to you for years, including myself, who I've listened to, and I've known you for about a decade now. But, you know, I've listened to you for years. And a lot of people tell me, listen, he sounds so much different on the Steve Jones Show than when he does play-by-play. And I'm like, well, yeah, that's just a different setting. That's the point. It's a different setting from the way people know you from press conferences and news conferences, as far from a football player standpoint.
Okay, but I mean, but I'm on doing this, doing play-by-play is different because you're in a structured.
Sure.
I mean, it's not structured, but I'm talking about it. It's a.
But this is a form of Twitter that you're doing right now.
I mean, but Jack and I do a pregame show that includes taking calls and so forth. Dick and I don't because that's not the structure of the show.
But that is a form of Twitter.
Coach's show is different. Because the focal point's the coach. It's not what I do. I'm just a liaison.
But see, you're verbally interacting with the fans, and the fans have access to you to ask those questions, right. Whereas fans don't have access to guys like Arian Foster.
Yeah, I guess that's true. Although a lot of players now have their own talk shows, especially high-end players. I would bet Arian Foster has a talk show in Houston. It's like Tom Brady does in Boston.
Is that part of the new contract?
No, he's had that for years.
Flacco's going to want one then.
All these guys have their own radio shows. See, but the difference is this. One thing that you run into, and people will run into this. Okay, let's take people who email or those who go on Facebook.
Okay.
You put out a comment on Facebook. or you put out a comment on an email. And it's meant to be funny. But in black and white, it doesn't look funny. When you're actually speaking with someone, you can change the tone and your inflection. And you can take something and you can turn it into funny based on your tone or inflection.
You know there's a way around that in the texting world too, don't you?
But again, it's different. I remember
emoticons.
Okay. Yeah, whatever.
You know what that is, right?
But
it's like the little wink.
Yeah,
or the smile or the laugh.
Yeah.
Okay.
And the little heart and the little smiley face. I got it. Yeah.
I send you those little winks and smiley faces, but I don't send you the hearts.
Oh, boy. I interviewed somebody. This was back in the late 90s. He wrote a book entitled Being Digital. It was on a show that I did on WPSU-TV entitled 15 Minutes. And it was a summer replacement show for Patty Satalia did a show all year round for 9 months out of the year. Take Note. Well, 15 minutes was always the summer replacement for Take Note. So I had to do shows on a wide variety of topics. And, you know, for example, I was telling you that when I do pre-games with Bill or Joe or Pat or Ed or whomever, I just sit there and I do the show with them and there are no notes.
Right.
All right. Now I'm around it all the time, so I don't need notes. But when it came to things like this, I always had put a lot of preparation in on questions to ask. Because you're talking about something that's out of my realm. So if it's out of my realm and comfort zone, I change the comfort zone by writing things like that down. So I had this author on who wrote the book Being Digital. Now, this is back in the late 90s, early 2000s. Number one, this guy was rude. Let's start with that. He is not my favorite guest ever on that show.
Needless to say, he won't be on this program?
No, but, but they brought him in. He was like, they said, look, this is a big deal to get this guy on the whole thing. I said, okay, fine. I'm thinking, I've never even heard who the heck he is. All right. But he just made some speech at Penn State and so on. He came in and he was this really cocky, arrogant. He treated the crew like garbage. Right. I mean, it was rude to the crew. He was rude to them. I thought, okay, fine, just be cool. But these are my friends, and you know how I feel about that part of it. Well, we're doing this show, and I read the book. And in the book, he says he emails 4 hours a day. Okay. So I mentioned, I said, the benefits of emailing 4 hours a day. And he talked about, being able to connect with people and talk with them and so forth. I said, well, haven't we lost along the way in a black and white world, a world where you're staring at a computer, that interpersonal level? And he said, well, what do you mean? I said, where two people are talking and conversing and you can read, where they're going or where they're not going. And voice inflection means something. And, and of course he disagreed with that, but I kept pursuing it. And the reason I kept pursuing it, because he was so rude to the crew.
Because you were trying to get his voice inflection to change.
Right. Well, I did. And I said, as I was going through this, I finally said, take for example now. I said, you're not happy with the line of questioning I'm going with here. Because I can see your face, I can hear it in your voice. I said, you can read my eyes and you can read my body language. He says, well, I'm not happy with where we're going. I said, exactly. I said, don't we lose that? And we do lose that. I mean, we do lose that. Now, is email invaluable? And Facebook invaluable? Yes. Because I think because what Facebook has done, for example, is allowed people to connect across a wide stratosphere. It may be people of like-minded thought. It may be relatives. For example, my aunt up in Boston, she keeps the entire family in tune with what's going on, and she's 450 miles away from here. Now I get this through my kids, and I get through, you know, because, you know, I don't go on it, okay? But that's how I keep track of certain things along the way. A relative maybe in California, a distant relative that may be sick or passed away. Email, same thing. For example, I was talking about the emails I received today. Well, Dave Baker sent a mass email to all of us. Hey, look, just beware about the plane tomorrow. Crosswinds here, may have to go to Pittsburgh. Okay, so at least we all know that. Incredible value to that. My Big Ten basketball ballot came in from Chicago. I got an email from the Big Ten Network today about softball, baseball, at least the door being open to doing something, you know, invaluable. You know, eventually we'll call to speak on the phone. But things like that, you know, the NCAA sent me some stuff from Indianapolis today about the covering the tournament in Philadelphia. Okay, that's fine. But when it comes to interpersonal stuff, you need to have verbal communication. That can't be lost in this digital world. And so when I talk, for example, about not tweeting, okay, because verbal communication on the pregame show is critical to let people know what we see and what we're talking about. And they can hear the inflection that we put into it, the seriousness, or it's not as serious. I think Twitter and the media has been useful to get quotes from people that maybe they can't get access to in a press conference.
Yeah, but that's
right away.
That's completely dangerous, and I know this is something that you've talked about in your class.
It's very dangerous. I'd rather have the person talk to them one-on-one, face-to-face, or on the phone.
But the one thing it's given the average fan an opportunity to communicate with the player. That's the one. Now, there's good and bad that goes with that, but that's the one thing that Twitter has done.
Are you?
Me personally? No. No, I'm not.
I mean, no. Are people actually communicating?
Oh, yeah.
With the athlete?
Oh, absolutely.
No, are they? Are they communicating?
All right, I see where you're going. Are they doing a comment, talking to a PR person? No.
Right, I'm not being rude or crude here.
I know what you mean.
No. I'm saying, are you? See, again, you don't know.
No, that's true. That's a great point.
Hey, I've been tweeting with LeBron. You know, like, are you tweeting with? You know, and I don't know if this happens. He very well may tweet himself. Or are you tweeting to LeBron's publicist or somebody in charge of his account?
Talk to Stephen A. He tweets directly to him. They're best friends.
But again. You know, Stephen A. would know he's talking to LeBron if he spoke to him on the phone or face-to-face.
Right.
That's still a very important thing, to walk up to somebody and say, hey, you know, again, for me to go up and say, you know what, I listened to the Milton Shikalimi game the other night. Kevin, you did a great job in that game. And hear the sincerity in it and so forth, and you know it directly came from me. All right, instead of having somebody else say, yeah, hey, tweet Kevin, tell him he did a great job in the game. Okay. You know? We'll wrap it up in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Welcome back. We're headed to the top of the hour and then news. Twitter, Facebook, topics we've talked about before. Again, how do you know that you're actually talking to that person?
You know, I kind of chuckled at that before, but you're right. You could be talking to a PR person. You could be talking to whatever. That's a good point.
I mean, there was a really touching on the journey on the Big Ten Network last night. A young girl named Lacey Hollowell from Michigan. And she had cancer, and she connected with Adrian Payne, and it showed that they would text back and forth to one another. Now that's legit. And you could see the two of them texting back. They would show it back and forth. Something like that, yeah. But like fans in general, yeah, I'm on LeBron's Twitter account. Sure, yeah, it's good for you. Get a life.
I'm one of 300,000 followers.
Yes.
Even when you put it that way, it sounds kind of like a cult, doesn't it?
Well, I think people enjoy being connected to someone of celebrity status. I mean, whether it's earned or not. I mean, Kim Kardashian's a celebrity, and she hasn't earned. You know, what has she done in her life? I mean, she's famous for being famous. Okay, now LeBron James is famous for being great at what he does. Michael Jordan's is famous for being great at what he does. You know, Aaron Rodgers and Joe Flacco and Justin Verlander and Patrick Kane and so forth, famous, you know, for their accomplishments. But then you have the Kim Kardashians of the world who are in the Paris Hiltons where you sit back and go, and you're famous for what? Because you tell me you are?
But remember, if you are on Twitter, you are, even if you're just somebody tweeting and you have friends that are following, you don't know who's right. following you. Keep that in mind. It is a public forum. It's like standing up in front of a group of people that you may or may not know and making a statement. Guess what? Right. Understand that you have to have a filter sometimes.
Now, remember, too, for example, we're on Facebook. And we have Twitter accounts. I mean, as people know, I don't use mine, as I've talked about. But take Facebook. Facebook has been very, very important, our Facebook account, for promoting the show and what we're doing. I know you use your Twitter account to promote the show and what we're doing and what guests we have coming on. That's invaluable to what we're trying to do, and that's why social media has always been important in our business.